as we try to preach His Word this morning. I know you're hungry. I've got a hickory smoked ham sliced up back there. Make a man's tongue slap his brain about three-quarters sideways. Amen. And I know the lady's got all kind of goodies back there to eat. Got that pecan pie. Depends on what part of the country you're from. It's either pecan or pecan. I don't know where you're from. I call it pecan. And it's good wherever, whatever you call it. Kind of like ice cream. You can call it whatever you want, but it's still good. Amen. All right. Song of Solomon, chapter number 4. And we'll read this chapter, Lord willing, for the last time in our study in the Song of Solomon. Next week, by God's help, we will endeavor to begin in chapter number 5. Bible said, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon, from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates, with pleasant fruits, campfire, and spikenard, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, as a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden, and eat his pleasant fruits." Now may the Lord add his blessing this morning to the reading of his word. Let's look to Him for just a moment of prayer, okay? Our Father, we're thankful again this day for God's love for us. Thank You, Lord, for the singing we've enjoyed this morning, the fellowship. Thank You for the season that we're in. Thank You, Lord, for Thy birth, for the life that You gave, and for Your soon coming again for us. Thank You for Calvary. Thank You, Lord, for the precious blood of the Son of God that's been shed for the remission of our sin, and not for ours only, but Lord, but for the sins of the whole world. Thank You this morning for mercy. Thank You, Lord, for fellowship. Thank You for the Bible that You've given. Quicken Thy Word to our hearts this day, Lord. May You touch Your preacher again this morning. and grant great power and liberty and unction to say what needs to be said to the people of God. Lord, may You draw nigh, we pray Thee today, that You draw nigh to the hearts of Your people, to still our hearts in Thee, warm our hearts in grace, to bless our souls this morning because of Calvary and the fellowship with the people of God. I do ask You to save somebody. Lord, someone out yonder in the fields of sin, without God and without hope, dead in their trespasses and sin, hopeless, on their way to a Christless eternity. May the day be the day that the power of God would fall upon their never-dying soul, that they might be born again into the family of God, cleansed by Your blood, washed and made clean. Help us now in this hour. Help the people. May the Spirit of God move through the auditorium, not just on this platform, but in the church, in the lives of Your people, and touch and revive and meet every need, satisfy every soul. We'll thank You, Lord, for all that is accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to look this morning at the very last verse, or the very last sentence, in the last verse of the chapter, verse number 16. And call your attention there just for a moment, where the Bible said, "Let my beloved," this is the bride speaking, and she says, "Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." I see there two things, and I'll come back to them. I see an invitation by the bride for the Lord to come into his garden. And then I see an indulging of the pleasant fruits thereof by the Lord Jesus Christ, the gardener. And if God would help me for a little while this morning, I want to preach on the thought, strolling in the garden with Jesus. Amen. You know, we sang that old song, "I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses." And we sing about how we would love to tarry there in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do believe that ought to be the heart's desire of every Christian this morning, would be to have a stroll in the garden with the Lord. Girls, no talking while I'm a preaching. Strolling in the garden with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, down through the verses that we've been studying from, on at least three times in this chapter, and then again in chapter 5 and verse 1. I'll say more about that when I get there. But really, and I want you to understand, I'm not criticizing the Bible. But the divisions of the chapters were not inspired by the Spirit of God. The Bible was just written. And men later made the chapter divisions. And I'm sure they're much more spiritual or were than what I am. And they have elected to put verse 1 of chapter 5 there, but it does to me more aptly fit in chapter number 4. But I'm not preaching on it, but at least in that verse of Scripture, the garden is mentioned again. No less than four times in verse number 12, he likens the church to a garden. And he said there that we are a garden enclosed. We are a spring that is shut up and a fountain that is sealed. And again in verse 15, Solomon says that we as the church, that we are a fountain of gardens. And then in verse 16 again, he says there that let my beloved come into his garden. Yes. And then in verse 1 of chapter 5, the Lord declares the fact that he already has come into his garden. And I really think that the truth that the Spirit of God is trying to get us to see is that the church ought to be a place of divine fellowship with the Lord. He wants to stroll in this garden this morning that He has planted, and there He delights in fellowship with you and I. And He implies that that fellowship is involved in Him reaping of the spiritual fruits or graces that the Lord has produced Himself in the lives of the people of God. And so He likens the church to a garden. And there He delights to come into that garden that He may have a blessed fellowship with you and I. Have you ever thought what it would be like, church, just to stroll down through a lovely garden with the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to fellowship with Him and communicate with Him and talk with Him and listen to His words of love and grace as they flood your never-dying immortal soul, and as He blesses your heart, my friend, as He did those men on the road to Emmaus. I'm really afraid this morning that we have really forgotten what it means to walk in sweet harmony and in perfect union with the Lord Jesus Christ in the house of God, and there to have some blessed and wonderful fellowship with Him. Did you know that we're His bride? And as His bride, He desires to have an intimate relationship, an intimate communion with us here in the house of God. Now, I tell you, there's nothing like it, friend, like being cradled in the everlasting arms of the Lord. It's like He said over in chapter number 2, I believe it is. He talks about hell, that His left hand is under her, and with His right arm He doth embrace her. I'm here to tell you, friend, that Jesus desires fellowship with you this morning, that you may talk to Him, and that He may talk to you, and that our souls might be blessed because of that intimate relationship with Him. I'll never forget years ago, Miss Hall and I, we were living in Tucson, and they had a city park there. We went there to that park one day, and we decided to have a little picnic. And I'll never forget, as we strolled through that park, maybe the one or two of the kids may have even been with us. I don't quite remember all the detail. But, oh, I remember the main details of how wonderful it was. We've even got a picture somewhere at the house that someone took of us. There's roses in that garden, and some of them were grown up at least 3 or 4 foot high. And there's a picture of Sister Hall, I think, stooped down, and I'm bending over, a smelling of those roses together. I've never forgotten that day how we walked to arm in arm. Somebody said, "Oh, I wouldn't do that with my wife." I know you wouldn't, you sorry devil. Amen. Amen. Well, preacher, I'm not much on romance. You better get Christ-like. He is a whole lot romantic. Amen. He wants to be romantic with you this morning. He is our heavenly bridegroom, and He desires to walk through the garden and smell of the fragrance and to bless our hearts as only God Almighty knows how to do. Miss Hall and I walked through that garden and smelt those roses. I remember we came to a little brook, a little creek that ran, believe it or not, out in the middle of the desert. But didn't Jesus say He'd make streams in the desert? Amen. And we walked by that little stream. I remember a little wooden bridge. And we walked over that bridge, over that stream on that little wooden bridge. And brother, I'll tell you, we was having a time in, of our life. I was. I've never forgotten it. That's been 14 years ago, and I've never forgotten it. I'm here to tell you, friend, that every awakening moment that you spend with Christ was never forgotten in the mind of God. And if you ever get into His presence like I'm talking about this morning, I guarantee you, neighbor, you'll never get over it, nor will you ever forget it either. Amen. Son, I've had some times with me and Jesus, buddy. Amen. Now, I wouldn't tell you everything about them, but I wouldn't trade them for nothing in the world. Amen. You've never begun to live until you, my friend, as His heavenly bride, Invite him into your garden to take a stroll through the roses and the flowers that he might have blessed and wonderful and holy and dedicated, devoted fellowship with you. It's one reason why we're so spiritually weak today. Most Baptists know nothing about that. It's why marriages fall apart today. Men know nothing about romance. You don't mind if I get a little personal, do you? To men, most men, all that romance is going to bed and having babies. There's a whole lot more to it than that. And a lot of men want to have babies, dump them off on their wife and let her raise them while they jackleg around. Amen. Men most... Hey, somebody said, well, I married her and told her I loved her. When I got married, that ought to be enough. I've got news for you, sir. If you want to keep the honey in the honeymoon, let that little woman know you love her over and over and over again. Son, the day I come to Calvary and was saved by the grace of God, the Lord Jesus whispered in my ear the fact that He loved me. But son, He didn't just tell me once. He tells me over and over again that He's still in love with His spouse. Hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus tells me more than once how much He loves me. That's right. Isn't that right, Brother Jerome? Amen. I don't want to leave there, but I must if I'm going to get done. Now, I know from the context at least four things about the garden. I know, first of all, that it's privately owned. For He said in chapter 5 and verse number 1, I'm come into my garden. Son, it's not somebody else's garden. Yeah, it is the Lord's garden, brother. Privately owned. Nobody else picking His fruit. Nobody else enjoying the calamus and the cinnamon. Nobody else indulging in the campfire. Nobody else indulging in the myrrh. It all belongs to Him. I'm come into my garden, son. He owns it. And by the way, He knows how to keep the crows out of it. I won't charge you nothing for that. Privately owned. What? Know ye not that you've been bought with a price and you're not your own? Son, we belong to Him. And it's His garden. And there shall be no intruders into His garden. It is a privately owned affair this morning. I know, secondly, that He personally grooms it. He digs it and dungs it. He purges it. He keeps the weeds out of the garden. Amen. I'm going to tell you, good Baptists like the garden. But they don't like the weeds kept out of it. Right. That's right, preacher. You don't have to get on that again today. Oh yeah, I do too. Amen. I'm talking about them weeds of sin, son, that gets in your life. Amen. I'm not. Hey, I'm talking about jealousy. Amen. Animosity. Oh, yeah. Strife. Envy. Amen. Lust. All that mess that gets in your little garden. He knows how to personally groom that garden and purge that garden, dig that garden and dung that garden to make it bring forth fruit that He can come into His garden and enjoy. Amen. That He can come into it and enjoy. By the way, I'm going to say something. He knows how to get them long ragweeds out of your mouth too. Brother Williams here the other day, and we and him went out here to the campus to eat some fish. Came out, and there's a truck sitting there with a big old long trailer on it. He said, Brother Hall, what is that on the back of that trailer? I said, come out of a snuff patch. Amen. He said, a snuff patch? I said, it's backer. Backer. Somebody said, it won't hurt you to turn your teeth yellow. It'll infest your lungs. It stinks like the devil. Amen. It burns your eyeballs. Makes you cough. Gives you cancer. puts you in an early grave and offends everybody else around you. Now, don't tell me there ain't nothing wrong with it. I know better. Somebody said, I can quit her any time I get ready. Why don't you get ready? Amen. I won't charge you nothing for that now. Son, I'm talking about he knows how to personally groom his garden. Somebody said, now, preacher, he don't deal with that. He did me. He knows how to get that television out of your house. Amen. He knows how to get Santa Claus out of your house and Christ into it. He knows how to get the Easter Bunny going. Oh, somebody said, preacher, you ought to get on that stuff. I'm here to tell you that Christ, my friend, knows how to purge and how to groom in His garden, bless your heart. Sin in His garden is an offense to God. It offends Him. Do you think He wants to walk in your garden and get dung all over His feet all the time? I've got to step around this cigarette butt, and over here is a cuss word on that television set, and here's a little bit of jealousy over here. Watch out, it's a Marlboro butt! Come on now, buddy! I said it's privately owned, and it is personally groomed and taken care of by the Lord. Hello, y'all still here? I won't charge you nothing for that. Let me get on something a little sweeter. I won't say he knows how, according to the text, he protects it. A garden enclosed. He protects it. Let me just go right back to where I was at, since how some of y'all frown. He knows how to keep the crows out of it, buddy. Amen. Yeah, amen. He don't have to put up a scarecrow to keep the crows out. Amen. It's a garden enclosed. He knows how to protect that which He has invested in. I'm here to tell you the Son of God, my friend, invested His blood for you. Amen. Now listen to me carefully. I'm going to tell you right now why I can't believe in limited atonement. If you believe in limited atonement, that Christ's blood was shed for an elect and select few, then what you've got to do, friend, is take that blood and divide a little of it up amongst each individual. A little blood here, a little blood there, a little blood there. But I'm here to tell you why I know that salvation is for mankind, friend. Is amen! Because if you would have been the only one, He would have yet had to shed every drop of His blood to save you, buddy. It took every drop from His kingly veins to wash your raunchy sins away. Son, He's got a lot invested in you, and I'm here to tell you, if He invested His life, He literally invested His life in you, and He is going to protect His investments, my friend. You got a lot of money. I had a preacher friend call me the other day and said, the stock market's going down. Said, my daddy had $80,000. In the last 2 or 3 weeks, he's down to $60,000. See, you know, you can't protect that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus buys. He puts a hedge about it and protects it, friend. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Like old Brother Mays used to say, heaven bound with a hammer down. Hallelujah to God. Oh yes, I'm hedged about by the good grace of God on all sides. Bless His wonderful name. I want to say number four, it's His. He preserves it. It is like a spring shut up and a fountain sealed. He preserves it. And look here. And He delights Himself and the fruit of it. Let my beloved come into His garden and eat His pleasant fruits. That's the bride saying that. That's the church. When was the last time you invited Him in? When was the last time you invited Him in, friend, to your little garden's pot? Huh? To fellowship with you. Somebody said, oh, preacher, what about, I'm here to tell you that fellowship is important to a child of God. Are you listening? That which we have seen, John said, and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This then is a message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. You know why? That you cannot have fellowship with some people because they do not walk in the light as He is in the light. I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's three prerequisites right in that text for fellowship with Christ. Number one is your walk. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. Don't tell me, friend, hey, if you ain't walking uprightly, if they sin, known sin, I'm talking about reproved sin. I'm talking about sin that has been reproved. That's yet in your life. And you tell me, oh, me and Jesus had a wonderful time. You are a lion, get you, got you, and your mammy don't want you, friend.
Amen.
You got to have the right walk. Amen. There's got to be truth if you're going to fellowship with Him. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And there has got to be truth. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. They has got to be a walk, they's got to be light, and they's got to be truth if you're going to walk in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to show you something. I'm about to get to my message. I ain't quite got there yet, but I'm bound to get there. Now don't nobody leave me. I'm going to try to explain this to you, man, the way God gave it to me. And while I'm getting to it, I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Genesis. And I may not shout and jump, but I'm going to show you something from that book. And this won't take but a minute to get through the message. But look here. He likens the church to a garden. And He comes into that garden. He is invited into that garden to fellowship. Everybody look right up here. You know another garden in the Bible where He used to fellowship? Huh? What about that Garden of Eden? Where that He created old Adam out of the dust of the earth and put him in the garden. And in the cool of the day, God would come to that garden and would fellowship with Adam. And God said, Adam, there's a tree of life. Said, every tree that you may eat for is good for food. But said of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, said, the day that you eat that, you're going to die. Not only did old Adam die, but when he disobeyed God and transgressed the law of God, God booted him out of the garden and put cherubims with flaming swords at the gate of the garden that man may not enter back into the garden and partake of that tree of life and live forever in his fallen estate.
Amen.
Now listen to me. When Adam sinned, fellowship was broken.
Amen.
No more fellowship with God. Out of the garden. Out of the garden, friend. And fellowship's done. But oh, wonderful Jesus. Woo! Son, I'm glad He's got another garden. You see, my friend, Christ came to restore all things. And one of the things He restored on the cross was the fact that man might have fellowship with God. Don't you want a fellowship with God? Huh? And son, I don't know how, but now listen, I don't know how. I've prayed about this for 2 weeks. But He put those cherubims at the gate of Eden with flaming swords that Adam may not and Eve could not get back into that garden. And some way, friends, spiritually speaking, when Christ died on the cross, His grace overcome those cherubims that guarded that garden of fellowship. And now He allows man back into that garden of fellowship. And I'm telling you, it's a blessed privilege that is afforded to you and I this morning
to come into Christ's presence in His garden and there to communicate with Him, my friend. It's like Brother Raines said this morning, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm confident and satisfied, Benny, that most people, I'm trying to wake some of you up. Hey. I'm confident this morning that 99% of Baptists know absolutely not one thing about coming into the garden of fellowship in the presence of Almighty God. Adam lost that fellowship. Christ restored that fellowship. Garden of Eden, Garden of the Church. Is anybody getting anything out of it? Now listen carefully. Have you got your Bibles? I want to show you this, man. I thought this was fascinating. In chapter number 2 and verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden.
Amen.
Eastward in Eden. Now get a hold of that. Son, here's... Brother Steve, here's what fascinated me about it. I like to have done a... It said He planted a garden.
Right.
He planted a garden, not little acorn seeds.
That's right.
A garden. Don't leave me. Watch it. Look in your Bibles. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to bring the message and we're going to the house. No, we're going to the earth and the heavens. Now get this. Verse 5 starts another verse, but there's only a comma there. It's the same sentence. In the day made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field, get this, before it was in the earth.
Amen.
Did you get a hold of that? God made every plant. God made every tree. God made every herb. Before it was ever planted in the earth, my friend. He goes on to say in that next statement, and every herb of the field before it grew. Because there was no water in the earth to water it. I read that to Sister Hall. I said, honey, have you ever heard anything like it? She said, God sure had a big hotbed up there.
Amen.
Not a hotbed. What is it? Greenhouse.
Amen.
Son, if I understand that correctly,
Amen.
God grew every tree,
yeah,
every plant, every herb, and had her full grown size and just dug her up in the greenhouse above and put her in Eden below.
Yeah.
Took a pretty good sized greenhouse, didn't it?
Yes.
Now look here, somebody said, preacher, that's silly. Is it now? I want you to listen. When He created Adam, did He create him a baby?
No.
Did He have another woman put Adam in a womb, bring him out of a womb as a baby?
No,
my friend. Created him as a 33-year-old man. He was an adult male when He created him.
Amen.
Now the scientists say, well, we believe in evolution because the earth's got to be so many billion years old. I'm going to tell you that verse of Scripture right there proves to me, son, that when God put the trees already on the earth, son, they are already full-blown trees. Hallelujah to God. And when He made the crusts of the earth, it was already a full-grown earth, my friend. He didn't create a baby earth and let it grow into a big earth. He reached out up where, yonder up there, where there was nothing else, and grabbed the earth in the palm of His hand and slung her out into the universe and said, let there be light, and hallelujah to God. There was light in the universe. And He set man in that garden and in the light that he might fellowship because of that light in that garden.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
I like it. I like it. Now, don't leave me now. Did you know that there was a miracle in that garden? And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree and pleasant, that tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Get this. And the tree of life also was in the midst of the garden.
Amen.
And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Son, I see a miracle right there slap in the middle of the garden.
Amen.
You know what it was? It was the tree of life. God said, Adam, you can eat every tree around here, including the tree of life. Said just, in fact, when he put those flaming cherubims at the gate, the only tree that was mentioned that Adam could get back to was the tree of life. Said, we don't want him to partake of that tree of life and live forever. We're going to put cherubims with flaming swords to protect that gate. Don't nobody leave me now. Don't nobody leave me. But right in the middle of that garden was a tree of life. Oh, miracle of miracles. And as long as Adam ate of the tree of life, he had life. And as long as he had life, he is able to fellowship with God Almighty. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? Amen to God. Your own's already got a hold of it. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, right in the middle of the church, right in the middle of this second garden, he's got a miracle tree growing. And it's called, my friend, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a miracle tree growing in the garden of the house of God. I want to say to you too, friend, that fellowship with Adam depended on that tree of life. You can. The reason some of you have no fellowship, you've never eaten of the tree. I believe so. Steve told me the other day that Adam Clark said it was a monkey that deceived Eve. I never heard a lie. If you ask me, it was a monkey. Bless God, it wrote that.
Amen.
Huh? If you get a hold of it, friend, I'm talking about a miracle right in the middle of the garden. It's not on the sidelines. It's not outside of the garden. Son, it's in the midst of the garden. Don't leave me. When I talk about the church, I'm not talking about something you can't find.
Amen.
I'm talking about a local, visible body, son.
Amen.
So what I'm saying is every time we assemble in this little building and this church comes together, somewhere right out here in a preeminent spot, son, is the tree of life. I'm simply saying that the cross ought to have the preeminence in everything.
Yeah.
And son, we'll fellowship around the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burning of my soul. I was rolled away. Hallelujah to God. Now get this. Get this. Don't he say there, Brother Ricky, that he put a river that ran out of the garden and broke off into four heads, and that river watered the garden. What did he say? He said a garden enclosed, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. That's in the garden today. But in that garden, it was a river, my friend, that broke off into four heads. One of them was the Euphrates and the Hiddekel and all those four gardens. But he said, and they watered the garden. Hallelujah to God. There's the cross, that miracle tree, right in the middle of the garden. And son, coming right along and watering that garden is the Holy Ghost of God, right in the middle of the garden. Hallelujah to God. Son, we ought to get a hold of that this morning. That Christ is in the church, and the Holy Ghost is a water in us today, that we might bring forth some fruit for God. Come on in, Lord. You planted me.
Amen.
You planted me, and the Holy Ghost has watered me.
Amen.
Now come, my beloved.
Amen.
And eat of thy pleasant fruits.
Yes.
In the church because of a miracle tree.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
No wonder. No wonder Paul said, I planted,
yes,
and Apollos watered.
Yes.
But it's God that giveth the increase.
Yes.
What's Brother Paul saying there? He's saying this, Paul planted. He said, Christ started the work. Paul said, I started the work in you. Then came Apollos and began to water it. Paul saying Christ started to work in you, and now the Holy Ghost of God in the water in your down, that Jesus may come in. That's why when the Spirit's come, He'll glorify Christ. Well, yes, son, He'll produce fruit in us, and that Christ may come into His garden. Hallelujah. I feel like a novice. I feel crazy. I feel wilder, wilder than a March hare, buddy.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I see a miracle in the garden, but I see a man in that garden. And it says there in verse number 15 of that chapter, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now look right up here. God said, Adam, it's your job to dress the garden and keep it. Can you see Adam out there purging that garden? And about the time he'd get about halfway through it, he'd look back and, oh my, I've got to start all over again. I'm going somewhere with this, Brother Jerry. I can't keep it cleaned up, Lord. I can't. What are you saying? Don't nobody leave me here. Don't nobody leave me here. That first Adam, when he was called on to dress the garden and keep it, talking about man's works, and he lost it all by works because you can't keep your garden, baby.
Amen.
But in this new garden, Brother Jerry,
yeah, Jesus. Amen.
Come on into your own garden.
Amen.
Son, I'll tell you what man cannot do, Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus can. Hallelujah to God.
Yeah.
You can't keep and maintain and dress your own garden, but Jesus can do it for you. In other words, you can't make a Christian out of you, Brother Doug. I can't make a Christian out of me, buddy. I can't dress myself up, spiritually speaking, and look like nothing or nobody. But hallelujah to God. I've got a garden.
It,
it's no wonder, Brother Doug, that Mary, when she got in the garden, said, I looked to Jesus and thought He was the gardener. He really was the gardener. Hallelujah to God, He was the gardener. And He was there taking care, hallelujah, of His garden that day.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. She said, sir, if you're the gardener, Jesus said, if you only knew, Mary. Well, what hast thou done in the garden that I've planted it? And I'm pruning it.
Amen.
And when the fruit comes forth, I'm going to indulge in it.
Yeah.
Chapter 1, verse 5, chapter 1 talks about Him indulging in the fruit and what the fruit is.
Amen.
I ain't got a hold of it. But I'm going to tell you what. Somehow Jesus is glorified. Fellowship is Him being glorified in the work of God in our life when we're suffering and maturing and growing.
Right.
And He is fellowshipping with us in that and reaping from it. But look here. Man was put in a garden. God told him, said, in the day that you eat of that tree of good and knowledge of good and evil, said, you're going to die. And guess what? He died. And I'll just turn over there. I believe it's in chapter 3. It's in chapter 3 and verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. Get out. He didn't ask him to leave, neighbor. He drove him out. Now look here. Turn back with me to chapter number 2. I've got to show you something. And verse number 18. He's pronouncing judgment upon Adam. And he said, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of what? When I was eating in the garden. Verse number 18 of chapter 2, I believe, Brother Mark. I see you looking. Wait a minute now. He's no longer eating in the garden. Where did I say he's eating, Brother Robert? Where's he eating? Where's he eating, Brother Andy? Look at verse 18, huh? He's no longer fellowshipping with God in the garden. But where is he at? Out in the field. You know what the field is? It's a world, friend. Here's old Adam out in the world. Lord, let me in. Lord, I miss that cool of the day when I heard your voice.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, can you see him standing at those at the gate of Eden and those cherubims with those swords are waving this way and that way and old Adam standing trying to find it. Oh, if I could just have one more minute! Brings me to this thought, friend. The misery out of the garden. There's a miracle in the garden. There was a man in the garden, but there's misery out of the garden. He is now working for his own living. He's bringing forth his own fruit by the sweat of his brow. And the thorns and the thistles are growing. And he's trying to live off the herbs that grow out in the field. Now I'm here to tell you, friend, man does not live by bread alone, son. I saw a little old sign somewhere the other day. Somebody pointed it out. Said, every time you eat a sandwich proves that man don't live by bread alone. Son, I'm telling you, we need God, friend.
Amen.
Fellowship with God.
Amen.
In the midst of the church, that's the house of God.
Amen.
And anything, that's the reason some of you are so miserable. You out yonder in the world eating briars and thorns and thistles and trying to come down to the house of God and get in on God. And there's two cherubims there with flaming swords. And you cannot get to the tree of life. Now I'm closing. No, I'm not. Maybe not quite. There's a myth. There is a miracle in the garden. There's a man in the garden. There's misery out of the garden. But I want you to know that there is mirth in the garden. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean mirth? I'm talking about joy, happiness. That's why I'm happy this morning. Somebody said, where'd you find that? Oh, boy, I don't want to do that again. Let me find that pair. I'd be blind as a bat if I didn't have some. Isaiah 53.
Amen.
No, I'm sorry, Isaiah 51. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. Verse 3, are you reading it? The Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And He will make her wilderness like Eden. And her desert like the garden of the Lord. That's your heart, friend. That's the church. A wasteland. A desert land. But God said, I'll comfort you. I'll make that which is barren flourish that I might enjoy it myself. Get this. Like the garden of the Lord, joy and gladness shall be found therein.
Amen.
Son, you know how much gladness and joy there is.
Yes.
When He comes into the garden where we're at, begins to drop handfuls of purpose for us. And our life has been upright, it's been holy, it's been godly, it's been pruned. We've not bucked and kicked and squalled, but we've let God do a work like on the potter's wheel in our life. And we've got sweet calamus, pomegranates, beautiful flowers, and the Lord's in that garden. How wonderful you are, my child. What a work I've done. Oh, I know you're suffering now. I know your heart's heavy, but I'll comfort Zion. I'll make you like God's garden, like Eden was. There will be joy and there will be gladness and thanksgiving. And I like this. I think Ben and Wayne will like this. And they said, and the voice of melody.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Wayne, I looked that word melody up in Strong. You know what it means? It means to thump and pick with your fingers. Look it up, friend. He's talking about God's fingers in your life. Just like David on the harp. And it's all in tune. It's all in this perfect melody. Not anything out of tune in your life. And he's a thumping and a picking with his fingers. And there's melody there. And by the way, not only just in your life. Before he's talking about coming into the church, get this now. Talking about the whole congregation being in harmony. And having melody. Nobody off key. Now look here, and I'm closing. Two things. Come. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. His pleasant fruits. Problem is, we want the pleasant fruits ourselves most of the time. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat the pleasant fruits. His pleasant fruits. I see there an invitation. Now, friend, this may hair lift you, but I'm going to tell you something. Christ will never force himself upon you. Somebody said, do you have any scripture, Tap? Contrary to popular belief, Revelation 3:20 is not talking about salvation. It's talking about fellowship. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door unto me. Have you heard his voice to open the door? I will come in with and sup with him. That's fellowship. And he with me. Two things, a knock and a voice. Have you heard either one of them? Behold!
Amen.
You know, in Mexico, they don't have some of the little village houses, a lot of them don't have doors. They have doorways. They have blankets hung over those doorways and a little fence of some kind around it. And you don't go up and knock on their door. You stand out by the fence. Bueno! Bueno! If any man hear my voice and open the door. Bueno! It's kind of like, Brother Clayton told us up here one day, he said he was visiting in around the Atlanta area. They went to a house and said he walked up on the, and said he put his face up to the window and looked in. And a Mexican come out of the door. He put his hand in his pocket. He had something in that pocket. He said, why you look in my window? That is not good. I invite you into my house. I'm going to tell you something, friend. When was the last time you invited him into your garden? The invitation and the indulgence that he may eat his pleasant fruit. Strolling in the garden of Jesus. Come, my Lord. Stroll with me today. Have we got any fruits for him to indulge in? Do we want it? A garden enclosed. My sister. My spouse. Spring shut up. Awake, O north wind. Come, thou south. Blow upon my garden. That the spices thereof may. God have mercy. There it is. I've never seen it. That the spices thereof may flow out. What are they flowing out to? Come, they're
You know who smells them spices? Jesus. I smell my garden. I think I'll take a stroll today. Woo! That was her invitation when her spices flowed out. I'm giving you something. I'm just telling you a fact. I ain't a bragging, but you're getting something you ain't going to get everywhere. God's helping us in this book, folks. And God wants exactly what I'm preaching this morning. Let's stand together. Our Father, I thank Thee, Lord, for the good liberty You gave to preach this morning. I enjoy preaching to Your people. I ask You to take Thy Word now and make it real in our hearts. That we too, Lord, may have spices that flow out to extend a cordial invitation to our Lord Jesus. May You move us today for fellowship. Move our hearts to be in harmony, not only with Thee, with one another. Please grant unto us repentance where necessary and faith where it's needed. And help our hearts, Lord, to love Thee. Thou art mine, and I belong to Thee. May there be fruit, spices, and herbs in this garden that my beloved may eat and indulge himself until he delight. Bless us now in the invitation. Save somebody in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What is it? Page number 5. Jesus paid it all. Believe. While these are praying, be right easy for somebody this morning. Are you really fellowshipping? Are you really fellowshipping? When was the last time you laid your head in the bosom of Christ? Let us sing together this morning, afternoon. Let God have His wonderful will and way in your heart today. Brother George. Just a minute, we'll sing one more verse. Well, some will leave today and say, well, he didn't hit Santa Claus hard enough. He hit him more harder than some of you can take it. If you leave here and all you see is Santa Claus, you ain't seen much. I want you to leave here and see Jesus. Eyes on Jesus. Not on me, not on some man or woman. But on Him. Because like the grass of the field, we'll fade away. But He abideth forever.
And in weakness as yourself, I have no help for you. You have no help for yourself. A man, Charles Spurgeon said, a man is in sad condition who looks in the sepulcher of self for help. You're just a dead sepulcher, friend. No help in you. Help's in Him. Let's sing one more verse, Brother George.